What is up, everybody? This is the Rafters Podcast, episode, 54. Thank you, Liam. As always, Liam, big day there to save my back. Episode 54 of the Rafters Podcast, brought to you by Couch Guy Sports, as always. What I forgot to do, Liam, was mention you earlier, Jared Scally. He's who's on the Couch Guy Sports Podcast a lot, and into the Triangle or the Triangle Podcast. He hit me up a few weeks ago or a couple weeks ago. He's like, let me know. I want to be on the next episode. So remind me, next episode, Jared Scally, possibly be on. I know you said Alan wants to grow. I keep calling him Alan. if he ever listens, I'll be like, fuck you, Connor. Al wants to be on the next episode. So Al and Jared, we're going to try to get them on here and in the next couple episodes. Maybe even have them on together. We're going to have a foursome. We're going to have a party over here.
We'll get a good segment going for the two of them. We also have Chris Jones booked for the week that we play the Clippers because he's a Clippers fan. So we're going to have him on and talk some smack to him before the Celtics crack the Clippers.
Wait, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, who's Chris Jones? Oh, is he a
from the Chasers. Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I don't know Chris Jones really well. Does he write or is he just a podcaster?
I think he just podcasts. I'm not sure.
Cool. I'm excited to have him on as well. That'll be fun. Finally have some guests in here. Not like me and Liam ever get tired of talking to each other, but it's always exciting.
Beautiful face, Connor.
Yeah, when I have my webcam on. And 2021, I want to try to get some like real guests on here too, not just other podcasters through like on Couchcast Sports. I know Al and Jared know some people. They know a lot of people, so maybe we can get some like bigger name people on this podcast, give you guys some really give you guys a break from just hearing mine and Liam's voice all the time.
Of course.
Get some real capital J journalists on here, possibly. So anyways, Boston Celtics, kind of red hot. They're playing phenomenal. The two most recent losses that they have were just, they lost to Indiana by 1 point. And they lost to Detroit by 3. I mean, well, the Brooklyn loss was the Brooklyn loss. They got fucking swept out of the gym there. They just had no chance after the first half. But the other two losses, 1 point and 3 points. Yeah, 3 points. Really, really close games. And those are two teams that, well, I mean, we played Indiana. We played both those teams back to back, and we beat them. So both those teams, I expect to beat them. I know the other, when we played them again, close, we beat the Pacers by 2 and we beat the Indiana Pacers by, we beat Detroit by 2 and Indiana by 5 the next time we played them. So close games, regardless. Celtics are pretty red hot. We're going to talk about last night's fiasco, what happened with our boy, as I'll call him, what he did to win the game last night. But I want to go over what did we miss? I know we talked about last game we talked about was Memphis.
Yeah, so we got the Pistons games to talk about, the Raptors.
And the Heat game. So one loss and 3 wins, I guess.
Yep.
We'll group the Pistons because Pistons, they're just a blah team. I know you sent me a text over the weekend. I don't think the Friday game, the first game, we could talk about that a little bit. The Celtics just played like shit. That was not a game that I really thought we'd lose, but lo and behold, we did. I mean, I feel like the Celtics always have those games where like we would never think they'd lose, but they just do. They end up playing awful. As always, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown played well. Tatum, 28 points. Brown, 25. But the rest of the team, man, they just kind of sucked. I mean, the big man, and the text you sent me was, it sent me like a stat with the two big men in the lineup. When we play with the bigger lineup, we just don't play as great as we do with like a smaller lineup. It's just not when we have Thompson and Tyson in the lineup starting five, it's not as great as a smaller lineup.
Yeah, the stat that I sent you was their defensive rating goes up, and it's a great defensive rating.
Of course,
when we have the double big men. It's 113.7 defensive rating, which is very good. But our offensive rating drops down to a 94.4, which is significantly not as good. And and that's a lineup with Smart at the point, Brown at the 2, Tatum at the 3, Thompson at the 4, and Tice at the 5. So a very top-heavy lineup with the two big men in there. And then obviously Brown and Tatum got some size on them as well. So the numbers speak for themselves there. And that the first time I really noticed the two big men lineup was against the Pistons, when we were having so much trouble in both games, specifically guarding Jeremy Grant, who's always been like a low key player that I admire. Like, he's a very underrated piece in the league.
And, got a good game. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Just coming off of a great year with the Nuggets. Now he's kind of the man in Detroit now that Blake Griffin's on the other side of the hill. And he was crushing the Celtics from the perimeter, especially on the first night. Him and my boy, Sadiq Bey. Jeremy Grant had 24. Sadiq Bey had 17. And they both just absolutely took advantage of our big, slow centers. I mean, you can get around Tice, you can get around Thompson pretty easily, and they're big men. Their perimeter defense isn't top-notch. You don't get centers for their perimeter defense. Most of the time, they're in the paint blocking shots. So when they're outside, you know, Kevin Love isn't going to be able to guard Steph Curry. It's common sense. So these forwards like Jeremy Grant, Sadiq Bey, who can shoot from the perimeter, who are very versatile. They're almost like, obviously, Jaylen Brown is smaller than Jeremy Grant, and he's used at the shooting guard, but they're a lot like that, where they're just versatile forwards, and we just couldn't keep up with any of them. And like you said yourself, there was poor contribution from the role players, and that's what really killed us.
Yeah, just bad. I mean, we don't expect Tice to go out there and score a shit ton of points, but he had 2 points. That's rough.
That's really
2 points in 24 minutes. You're better off putting like Semi Ojeleye out there or Grant Williams out there, a guy who's going to get you more points. I know he's not as big as Tice, but he's going to put up more points. Or maybe, like I said, go with a smaller lineup. But it does make sense in theory to go with the bigger lineup against a team like Detroit, who has very versatile big men. And you're going to see this a lot up and coming in the NBA. As the years go on, all these big men are becoming more versatile. They're going to start going more towards the arc, and they could towards 3-point line, and they can go inside and blow you down there. These guys can dribble, they can shoot, they can do it all these days. So we kind of have Tyson Thompson, more Thompson. He's kind of like that old school center where he's not really going to go beyond the paint. Yeah, he's staying in the paint. He's a big guy who's not going to go outside the box. Tice, a little bit more European style. Maybe he's a little bit more used to it, but
he'll take the threes. He won't always make them, but at least he'll
try. Yeah, in that game, he only shot 1 3. Thank God. He shouldn't be shooting any. But Thompson, he also had 5 points in that game. Terrible. And Ojeleye, 0. Robert Williams, 0. You don't really expect much out of him. But yeah, not a good game. Obviously, a loss to the Pistons in Detroit. Blah game. The next game in Detroit, we also only won by what? It was like a 5-point win. It wasn't even
two-point win. Yeah,
2-point win. I'll give it. The Celtics played better. They scored more points, more offense in this game, a significant amount more offense in this game. It's just kind of the same thing. Like, we Grant again, 22 points. Like you said, he's kind of the man over there. And Griffin played in this game, who didn't play in the first game in the series. Blake Griffin did not play. He did fairly well. You know, he put up Blake Griffin numbers, usual. Their whole starting five did well. It's just our boys, Jaylen Brown, put up 31. And that's when Jaylen Brown puts up 31, I don't really see the Celtics losing a game.
Yeah, the offense was a lot better. And obviously, we looked at the last game, which was a huge problem. We had 2 points from Daniel Tice and 5 points from Tristan Thompson. Now, the rebounds from them were fine. 9 rebounds from Tristan Thompson, more than acceptable. And 6 from Tice could be better, but definitely not too bad. But in this game, 12 points from Thompson, 11 boards. Tice, 15 points, 4 boards. Much to be admired desired with the 4 boards, but there's more points coming in.
Yeah.
Brown, like you said, bumped it up with 31. Tatum hovered around the same range of 24. But then we have players who didn't score at all, had little to no contribution in the first game, coming in and at least scoring, at least doing something in the second game.
Semi had 11.
Yeah, he played 6 minutes in the first game and had no points. In this one, 21 minutes, 11 points. He was hitting some threes. Peyton Pritchard had 5, 4, and 4. And Jeff Teague, this was the last game before he got injured. Jeff Teague was honestly the biggest disappointment of this game. But he still at least gave us 2 points, which is, you know, something.
Yeah.
He didn't goose egg it. And Brown bumped it up as – or Smart bumped it up as well, getting 17-10. So overall, our starting lineup that, as we talked about earlier, with the two big men, so Smart, Brown, Tatum, Thompson, and Tice, they all scored across the board much better, and that was clearly the difference here. If you look at the two scores, you know, this is in the 120s, and the last one was just not a great offensive game.
No, I fully agree, and I think we're going to see a lot of that big lineup going forward. It just makes more sense when you're playing, like I said, more versatile teams that have big men that can do a lot of stuff. And I think, I know it doesn't work at times, and I know the offense struggles when we do have the two big men in there in the starting lineup, but I think Brad is moving towards just getting that lineup ready for towards the end of the season where they're really going to have to use it. Because if you think about it, if you're going to beat teams like Miami and Milwaukee, even Brooklyn, you're going to need to play solid defense, because you're not going to be able to keep up with Brooklyn on offense. You just know it's not going to happen. Like their offense is significantly better. They have, I love Brown and Tatum to death, but Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are way better scorers than they'll smoke them. They'll smoke them. And we saw that when we played them. They smoked them. Durant scored at will, and so did Kyrie Irving. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that heavier lineup, more defensive toned lineup, and maybe the big guys can do something on the offensive end.
Yeah, these two Pistons games, they scared me a little bit just because we were getting cooked, like I said, by Jeremy Grant. Sadiq Bey had a great first game, came back in the second game with only 6 points. But we were getting toasted by Svi Mykhailiuk in the second game, who's another versatile forward who could shoot the ball. So it's like if it's not one guy, it's the other giving the Celtics problems. And it scares me if we can't guard some dude who most people wouldn't be able to pronounce his name. If we can't guard that guy, it's like, come on. And we should have won both of these games against the Pistons. The Pistons are going to be arguably one of the worst teams this year. I got to give all the props in the world to Derrick Rose, who ended up hitting the go-ahead shot in the first game. We came back from down 17 points to tie it up. And, of course, Derrick Rose put the game away, and we were just not able to hit that last shot. Mm. He had absolutely crushing first game. He had...
Should have come down to that, though.
No, it definitely shouldn't.
So, we're way better than the Pistons on paper, too.
Yeah, 100%. So that's what I'm saying. There's a takeaway here, and it's just I think they played down. They expected this to be an easy game, that they'd just sweep right by them, because this is a solid team, but certainly not a good team. And I expect them to be somewhere near the bottom. They have some guys that I really like on this team, but they're not a contender by any means. They just have a couple of hoopers. And the fact that they were able to go out there and steal game one and almost get game two, too. Like, if they had lost both of these games, I would have a serious problem right now.
I'd be concerned. Yeah, I would be really concerned. But you know what? A win's a win. They went out and won the second game. So can't be too concerned. I mean, you can take, obviously, better takeaways, but they won the game. They should have won the first game. Like you said, they came back, almost won that. But whatever. I mean, can't say too much about it. It's early on in the season, too. Like, the Celtics are 5-3 as of right now. So I'll take that record every day. But the next game, Toronto Raptors, was our White Claw wager of the week. Right, correct?
It was.
Liam lost. If you're new here, we do a White Claw wager of the week every week, every episode. We bet on a game. Whoever loses, chooses a losing team, has to chug a White Claw during the podcast. I guess Liam has a ginger snap. What is it? Bud Light
seltzer.
Yeah, whatever the fuck that thing is. He says, by the way, he says it tastes like ginger ale, but he hates ginger ale. And he said, I love it. Terrible. He said I'm a sicko for liking ginger ale. I love ginger ale.
Because only the ill drink ginger ale. If I have a tummy ache, I drink ginger ale.
I'm about to go to CVS after this and buy some Schweppes, dude. I can't wait. It's going to put it on ice, too? Ooh.
It's going to make me throw up.
I'm craving
even have to drink this shit.
Is that ice cold?
It is. It was actually left in my trunk, so I was afraid it was going to be like slush, but no.
Can you shotgun it?
It's ice cold. Should I shotgun it?
Yeah, why not shotgun it? I mean, you can't. No one can see you but me, but I haven't done a shotgun in a while.
I'll give you a show. I did one like 2 days ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're fresh out of college. You're a shotgunner, I'm assuming.
Yeah, no, avid shotgunner.
You have your shirt off every time we record this, so you're ready for a shotgun whenever.
Yeah, I like to give you a show.
You poked a nice big hole in the bottom of that can.
Best believe. Nice big brain freeze giver right here. All right.
Oh, my God.
Shake it loose a little bit.
Ginger ale.
Oh, it tastes like fuck. I'll send you one of these so you can share in the misery.
Do they sell them anymore?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now that Christmas is over, I don't know. All right.
Good luck.
3, 2, 1, fuck the Raptors.
Go Celtics, baby. Wow, it's taking me longer than I thought.
That hurt so bad.
Yeah, Celtics aren't the best at Chug, to be honest.
Oh, it is so cold.
But that was a White Claw Wager of the Week brought to you by Bud Light Seltzers. Liam's legit crying right now, and I love it. Yeah. That's what you do.
It's cold.
That's what you do when you let the OG of the podcast get to choose the first White Claw Wager of the Week.
Not making that mistake again. I have to burp up a corner.
Actually, speaking of that, before we go over the Raptors game, let's choose our next wager.
Yes, let's.
Fuck, I was just on their schedule. And I get to pick, so I mean, you're fucked. By the way, and maybe Liam will probably chug about like 8 White Claws between now and then. Next little White Claw wager of the week. All right, so we have games. We have Washington.
Tomorrow.
Miami, Chicago. Oh, I'm picking at Chicago. We're going to beat Chicago. That's the White Claw wager of the week.
Is it?
Yep. Celtics shit. Over Chicago Tuesday, January 12th.
This is going to be a tough ride.
I think I got this. Who knows? But it's the Bulls, and the Bulls kind of suck. So
go Zach LaVine. Help a brother.
I mean, they're
out.
Not bad. I'm giving you credit. I could have chosen the Magic, who I think are a lot worse.
Yeah.
Right? I think the Magic are.
If you were sympathetic, you'd pick the Heat.
Should I?
It's your call. No, we already decided.
Heat game, or like you want me to choose the Celtics over the Heat?
No, you already chose. We're going with the Bulls.
Don't be sure. I will take the Heat. I will make it interesting.
We ride.
I will make it interesting and choose the Heat.
Too late. We ride. We're going with the Bulls.
Too late to apologize. All right. Well, that was White Claw Wager of the Week. Like I said, brought to you by Bud Light. So it wasn't even a White Claw. It was a Bud Light. It's whatever seltzer we have in the fridge at this point.
Yeah.
In the back trunk of your car.
Seltzer like Wager said. Of the Week.
Yeah, the seltzer wager of the week, because since, like you said, you had it in the back fucking trunk of your car, so, ew. I wonder how long that was in there for. Be an adult, put it in the fridge. Anyways.
Sorry, I'm not sober for 75 days, so I'm not a real adult.
Well, it's been 7 days so far, so I feel great. I feel amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait till like fucking 2 weeks when you just crack and get hammered.
No, I really don't need it. I don't think I'm going to need it. Pretty.
I need it.
I tried to do it last year. Like, I tried to do a sober month, and I, like, ended up drinking, like, 3 times. But it's not going to happen this time. It's not going to happen. But anyways, Celtics over the Toronto Raptors. Great win. Great victory. Tatum, game high, 40 points. Fucking beast. 5 for 8 from three-point line. I mean, that was about it for the Celtics. Our boy... I was going to say that's about it. Peyton Pritchard, that was about it for the starting five. Obviously, Brown contributed in there. Brown had 19. Really not a big Brown night for him. Not the best night for him, but, you know.
I bet on Brown this night, too. What a fucking idiot.
To score how many points? What was the over-under?
20.
22. Oh, yikes. That sucks. All I needed was one more free throw.
I was so mad.
Yeah, towards the end of the game, you're probably like, come on, foul him.
Dude, I was
This was a big win. Like, this was never in question. The bench got a lot of playing time here. Lots of playing time. After the first half, it was like kind of they had a pretty decent lead after the first half. So they put the bench in, and there we were. I mean, you saw guys like Semi Ojeleye get 30 minutes. Grant Williams got 24 minutes. Even Naismith got in there with 10. He hasn't really been playing too much. He had 10 minutes.
Or too well.
Yeah, not really too well either. And our boy Peyton Pritchard, did you get the jersey?
I did. Thank Christ.
Is it in? You got it in?
No, I haven't got it like physically, but I just.
I was going to say, you better be. I didn't see wearing. Well, you never wear a shirt, but I was going to say, you better put that on right now.
Trust me, I'd be wearing it if I got it.
Yeah, Peyton Pritchard, probably, I think that's the most points he's scored in the game so far. 23 points. That has to be his game high, career high, which is pretty fucking good career high for a rookie. Literally, this kid's – I won't say much about this game. Toronto, they're 1-5. It looks like they're having not the best start to the year. I think they'll bounce back. You got guys like Pascal Siakam. Van Fleet is a baller. He had 35 points in this game. You got Kyle Lowry. So you got ballers on this team. It's just, I think they're just not getting off to the best start. So props to them. I can't say I've always liked Toronto, but I do like the guys they have on that team, and I do respect a lot of those players. So they're just getting off to a tough start, but great win for us. Great team win for us. Draymond Waters played in this game?
Yep. He played. Holy fuck. Time. Yeah, he split time with Pritchard. So my takeaway from this game.
That's a takeaway right there. Holy fuck. I didn't really even know Draymond Waters played in this game.
Yeah, they thought that they were going to have to split time with him and Pritch. But yeah. Little did they know.
Smart didn't play, right?
Oh, the Pritch train rolls up hard to Tampa. And he comes in, not starting, because Draymond Waters got the start. And eventually, they subbed him out. Draymond Waters was relatively ineffective. It was a close game at the in the first quarter, like back and forth. Oh. Yeah, I was losing my mind. Like, this game could go either way. This was a must-win game for the Toronto Raptors. Fred VanVleet came out and said that they have to start winning right now. He's never been in a situation where they're losing like this. And kudos to him. He had 35. He balled out of his skull. Yeah, he was killing it. But he knew the urgency in this game. Starting out 1-5 in the season, that's not how the Toronto Raptors do it. So this was a big statement game for them. And for the Celtics to keep it close, Jaylen Brown had a great first quarter, really making me feel good about my bet. And then, of course, he kind of faded out in the second quarter where Jason Tatum took over and just effortlessly from three. Sidestep three, trot down the court, pull up three. Everything was effortless. A very efficient overall game from him, and I thought he was going for 60. He was balling out.
I mean, he very well could have if he...
Yeah, if it wasn't a blowout,
yeah.
Yeah, but the task at hand here, the thing we have to talk about is the Pritch train. This brother rolls up after smoking in the last couple games. He wasn't so effective against the two Pistons games, but he's had his moments in the game before then. On the podcast last week, we were singing his praises, and he comes in getting 32 minutes. He got all of Jeff Teague's minutes, all of what would be Kemba Walker's minutes. We gave it to our last pick in this year's draft. Some random rookie out of Oregon.
Randall.
He comes in rolling. Maybe I'm not the biggest college football or basketball fan, but I didn't know a whole lot about this guy.
Neither did I.
I'm infatuated. I'm saying prayers to this dude before bed every night. I bought his jersey. This 23 points, 8 assists. He was making every play the right way. All the right plays. Too. Yep. So young, so smart. His three-point efficiency was unbelievable. Very sexy. I live bet him, too. He won me some money that night because I think I live bet him at when he had 5 points. I bet that he would get 12. And obviously he blew that out of the water.
He almost doubled it.
So he hooked it up for me, too, which was huge. I greatly appreciate Pritch there. But nah, he wanted to go down to Tampa. The Pritch train rolled up for some vacation. He's tired of this quarantine. He's seeing Florida, and everyone's kind of rolling around. Awesome. Florida is the most free place in America right now. There's no restrictions down there. Pritch is like, all right, let me roll down there real quick.
Pulls up, drops a quick. Probably got some Miami Tampa babes that night. He was getting
drops
laid.
That quick 23-8 for the boys, and then heads home with a resounding dub. Honestly, when Teague comes back, I don't think I want him starting. I thought it was a blasphemous claim. You cannot have a wily veteran behind such a young, not coveted, like not a high draft pick. I thought it would be bad for Jeff Teague.
Oh, yeah, I did text you that. I was like,
start Pritchard. I don't think you could do that to Jeff Teague's psyche, but now I don't fucking care.
Well, I mean, Teague hasn't really even been starting that too much anyways. I know Smart's been starting over Teague.
Yeah, well, because Teague was hurt And like they were question, he was questionable to even be in the lineup, so they had Smart starting. But yeah, he is better off the bench anyway. So I can't imagine a scenario where I wouldn't want to start this guy in the situation. Obviously, when Kemba comes back, he gets the start.
Yeah,
Jesus tough. Christ, you got to get this guy minutes, because in 32 minutes, in a full play, like player's game's worth, usually a player will play a good. Contributing player will play over 30 minutes. In 32 minutes, 23 points, 8 rebounds. Do you have his 3-point stats for me?
Two rebounds, eight assists.
I mean 8 assists, yeah.
His 3-point stats?
Yeah.
2 for 4. I mean 50% is really good.
Yeah. Really good. And he had this high off glass shot over Pascal Siakam that was just marvelous to me. He was able to draw the D in, find open guys. I'm curious. Because he doesn't look athletic whatsoever.
He's only 6'2". I'm taller than him.
Are you? Jesus
Christ. I'm like his size. I'm like, yeah, 6'3", 206 pounds. That's like my body. Obviously, yeah. I followed him on Instagram. I gave him a follow after last night's fiascos. But he's my body, but a lot more athletic and obviously more muscles, but my same size of me, basically.
More talent just all around everywhere.
Look at me, come on. I'm not an NBA player at 22 years old. I would never be. I'm not gonna be an NBA player at 26 years old, but
you certainly look like one though.
Thanks. Dirk Nowitzki, my all-time favorite. My alter ego, but like we said, just an overall great win for the Celtics. It is kind of a statement game. Like you said, just put your foot down on the Raptors. The Raptors, they're a tough, scrappy team. They
hung around in games in the playoffs last year. Like, they are a great team. They still have it going.
Yeah, it's just a bad start for them. Not the best start. They have Alex Len. I didn't even know that.
Maybe that's why they're losing so much.
Yeah, he hasn't really done much. He was a good baller on Maryland a couple years ago. He hasn't really owned up to his what they thought he'd be. But like I said, it's always good when you beat Toronto. It's always a good win, especially – it would have been better if we beat them in Toronto. But I'll take a win over Toronto.
In Tampa.
I'll take it wherever. I'll take it in Tampa. I'll take it in Massachusetts. I'll take it wherever.
The Pritch train goes wherever. It doesn't discriminate.
I mean, obviously the Pritch train went right from Tampa – and skirted his way over like that skirt. I'm learning some terminology.
You're picking up.
He went choo choo and went right to Miami, South Beach. And, you know, obviously, I don't know if anyone watched the game out there, but he I want to say it was a game winner. Yeah, it was a game winner. His shot won the game. Smart went up for a layup. He kind of hit fouled off the backboard. Yeah, he got debatable. Doesn't matter because Pritchard was right there. He was like, thank you. He was the garbage man. Scooped in there, picked it up, put it right in the basket. Bam. Celtics win. And I'll say this about this game. Not really impressed with the Celtics here. They were up, I think, 10 with like a minute to go or like something like that. They were up by a decent amount. I was watching. I was like, no way we lose this game.
Up 10 with a minute 17.
Yeah, and we threw it away. They hit, I think Miami hit like consecutive like 3 or 4 3-pointers.
Yeah, I got it all right here. So overall,
take it away.
Great, great team basketball. Even being in this game, I think the Miami Heat are still a finals contender. I think they're still a great team. They still have all the players from last year. So there's no changes to Miami. They're still a top-notch team in the East. And the Celtics were able to keep neck and neck with them all game. I kept trying to see, do I want to bet on the Celtics? Do I not? And I didn't have that confidence because I didn't know. The Heat would take the lead. Celtics would come back and get a couple points on them. And the Heat would come back. It was heated. No pun intended. But late in the game, with a tight mid-range set up off a beautiful dime from Marcus Smart and then back-to-back threes from Tatum and Brown, and then another putback from your boy Tice, the Celtics are up 105-95 with a minute 17 left.
You would think it'd be over.
I was like, damn it, why didn't I bet the Celtics? What an idiot. And then all of a sudden, Duncan Robinson runs a flare screen, comes around, and nails a three, gets another three in the corner, and one. And then Goran Dragic gets it off, which also I think could have been a foul. You know, it's one of those plays.
Who hit the and one three? Duncan Robinson?
That was Duncan Robinson. But then after that, they stripped Marcus Smart, I think it was. And it looked like a bit of a foul to me, but those are one of those calls late in the game that you don't want to make that call because it's, you know, it's late in the game. So, anyway, he gets stripped. The ball rolls out to the three-point line. Of course, lands in Goran Dragic's hands, and you never want the Dragon to have the ball in the last seconds of a game. Puts it up and, of course, cashes it. So, at this point, we're tied. And I'm like, holy shit, the Heat are going to win this game. Thank God I didn't touch this game. I'm losing my mind. And mind you, Pritchard has been pretty quiet up to this point. He's got 4, 4, and 6. 4 points, 4 assists, 6 rebounds. So he's solid for a rookie, but, you know, he's not making a splash. He's certainly not doing what he did against the Raptors. If we go down, we're trying to get a bucket, and Smart's underneath. Gets fouled, in my opinion, pretty bad. And, of course, like I said, late in the game, the refs don't want to be the reason a team wins or loses, so they don't call it. And with 0.2 seconds left, as the ball's falling off the rim, dude soars in like an eagle, like the future NBA superstar he is, glides in. Yep. Feet do not touch the ground from the three-point line to the basket. He just floats in there. Puts the ball back in, boom, game. With 0.2 left,
They did a little toss up to Bam Adebayo, I think, to almost win it.
Yeah, because with 0.2 left, you have to tap it in. You can't get a shot off with 0.2.
I mean, I thought I was like holding my breath because the way that the Heat were playing on offense, I thought they were probably going to have a chance to tip it in.
Oh, I mean. With 0.2, I'm always.
It almost happened when we the first game of the season against the Bucks. Like we thought we won, and then
it takes with
the big guys like that. Like obviously Giannis or like a guy like Bam, they're talented guys that know how to draw fouls and who will get those calls because they're big name players. I was weary. I was like, fuck, they're getting time to fucking make a play.
Maybe I would struggle as a coach because I was pretty relaxed. I was like, all right, we definitely won. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was getting texts from you, all my other friends. You texted me our sweet, sweet boy, Peyton Pritchard.
Sweet boy.
The Prince train was on the Florida tour. Stopped by in Tampa, went a couple hours down south, hit up Miami South Beach for, that social distancing beach wear. Yep. And just such a big play. I love to see a player like this who, even when he doesn't have a big game like he did against the Raptors, he still impacts the game with one big play, one big moment, anything. It's all hustle from this kid because he wasn't a top draft pick, and he certainly wasn't expected to be much of anything going into the
draft. I'll give you this. He was a first-round draft pick. You can't take anything against a first-rounder. No. If you're picked in the first round, you're pretty fucking talented.
100%. I
thought
rounds.
He was just going to be like, I thought he was going to be like just a guy that would just sit, sit on the outside and like just wait for a 3-point, like wait for a pass, just sit, like come in his lap and just shoot a three. This kid could do more than that. He is, how many assists is he at per game right now this season? He only has 3, but like he has games where he's up there in assists, he's up there in points. And I know we don't expect that every game. We're not going to be like, oh, Pritchard's going to score 23 every game. No, I can see him around like he's average right now, 8.3 points a game. Maybe not like 7 to 10 points a game. I see him at, but that's solid for a guy that's not starting and not the go-to guy at all on this lineup.
Yeah, it's a great foundation. So far, like this rookie year, and I'm sure it'll be pretty consistent for this year. He's building the foundation for what could be a great career. I think he's definitely one of those bench pieces, like those spark guys that comes in like a
Joel. Could be like a JJ or something.
Instant offense. I think like JJ, I guess, is a good example because they're both good shooters, but JJ is like very one-dimensional. He's coming off screens, down screens, flaring to the corner. JJ will get the ball, run 100 miles an hour, and jack up a shot, and it'll cash, obviously, because he's the man.
No, I agree. And it's like you said, maybe potential rookie of the year here. I don't know if he keeps it up. I haven't been watching too many like other teams play. I know there was some decent rookies in this year. Unless Lonzo picks it up, he's not winning this. Lonzo, D'Angelo Ball. I don't know who was the first pick. Our Wiseman.
He's killing it.
Is he? He's doing pretty well. Yeah, I would assume.
Let me look up Wiseman's stats.
I gotcha.
What is it?
James Wiseman. I feel like he's 11.3 points per game, 6 rebounds. I mean, not crazy great, but, you know, it's pretty solid for a rook.
So, my candidate for Rookie of the Year is a shooting, or has basically the same amount of points. Tyrese Haliburton for the Sacramento Kings, 11.7 points, shooting 50% from the field, 48% from three, 5 assists a game, and almost a steal and a half. He's my candidate, my favorite for Rookie of the Year. I think he's crushing it. But Peyton Pritchard, in my
opinion, he could be up there in conversation.
He's got to be the third.
Yeah, as of right now, and I mean, like I said, I haven't really been paying attention to a lot of the rookies this season. Yeah, he's got to be up there as of right now, and it's way too early to tell. There's a lot of basketball to be played, but if he keeps this up, yeah, I would say he could be in that top five. And like you said, the guy on the Kings, like, I don't even know if the Kings have been playing that great this year, but
they have. They've been a surprisingly good team.
Surprisingly good, yeah. I mean,
they've won me a lot of money.
That guy, like you said, that kid, that the rookie that you're saying, he's going to get a lot of playing time just because, you know, the Kings don't have a lot of big name people on their team. I mean, yeah, they got Buddy Hield, but is that about it? Oh, they got De'Aaron Fox. Okay. Wow, I haven't really been paying attention at all. Holy shit.
Yeah, they're killing it.
No, they're 500. Not as good as the Celtics.
They've beaten good teams. Chill.
Who have they beaten? The Rockets? You're going to say they're a good team? The Nuggets? Okay, wow, the Nuggets.
Nuggets are
not really scared of them. They're okay. Their defense.
I think they beat – no, they lost to the Blazers.
Just who was playing the Jazz the other day? My roommate, I was like, oh, you should put the Suns over the Jazz, and the Suns stomped on them.
Oh, I had that.
Suns, I was like, Suns is going to be straight up offense, and the Jazz is just like, they're just a defensive team. Like, I think Brooklyn ran into them already. Brooklyn played the Jazz
Brooklyn and just fucked. Destroy, and without guy KD too.
If you have a good offense, you're killing the Jazz. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're a good team as well, but they just have no offense. They're just a defensive team, and they can't keep up with any guys on offense. Teams on offense.
Definitely worth noting, though, like you said, LaMelo might actually have the best stats of them all. Damn, I'm surprised.
Does LaMelo? I haven't looked at LaMelo. I know got off to a terrible start.
Terrible, but he's clearly figured out 12 points, 41% from the field, 36% from three, so solid. 5 really? Rebounds, 5 assists, like very solid. Almost 2 steals.
Did not know that, really? Yeah.
So he's definitely, and he's like the most hype, so there's definitely a chance that like he wins it.
Yeah, sure. Sorry, yawning. The NBA would love to give it to LaMelo Ball. Love, 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 love. It would be like a great, it would be a huge thing. It'd be like media, like just the last name Ball. If he can get it, if he has a chance, they would give it to him. Oh, yeah, 12 points, huh? 12 points per game, 5 assists. I mean, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. It's pretty. He must be heating up in these last, like, because he was like scoring 0 points in the games early on.
Yeah.
Recent games, 13, 12, 13, 15, 22. Yeah, he's been putting up decent stats against somewhat decent teams. Philly, he's been putting work in. He put a lot of work on Dallas. Who guarded him in Dallas? Luka?
Some poor fuck.
Hopefully not Luka, because he went off.
Yeah.
I can see that game being a lot of offense anyways, especially with the guys.
I got him on my Couch Guy Sports fantasy team too. So,
is the Couch Guy Sports basketball fantasy league?
Best there, believe, and I'm crushing it. Why am I not in it?
Who the fuck created this thing?
We hate you, obviously.
Who started this league?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
Why should we be in this league?
Chris Jones.
Chris who? I don't even know who Chris Jones is.
But it was made by Nick, I'm pretty sure.
God damn it. Well,
yeah. I think you're going to have to give him a stern talking to.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be in the OG like fantasy baseball leagues, and I'd kill it, but I guess I'm not really a couch guy sport guy anymore.
Yeah, I'm crushing Matt Burnett right now.
Damn, I want to be in this league. Can I co-coach?
Co-coach? My team? Like,
coach? I won't do anything. I won't like actually like. I just want to be there in spirit.
Yeah, hop on. We can make this the couch guy sports one. Yeah. I'm team. A ton of drugs. That's my team.
Oh, nice one. DeAndre Ayton, I'm assuming.
Yep, of course.
Right. Do you have Peyton Pritchard?
I do not. Does anyone have Peyton Pritchard, actually? Hold on.
I'm sure. Well, no, because when I've played fantasy basketball, and it's like...
Somebody has him. Son of a bitch.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's probably... I mean, all these guys are, for the most part, Celtics guys.
Who has him?
Sure. So I'm sure someone scooped him up. Get him in a trade. Trade fucking DeAndre Ayton. Get him off your team.
Willie Cauley-Stein was mine. Nice. That's the dude who has him. That's a good name.
Who has Willie Cauley-Stein?
Willie Cauley-Stein is mine. I don't know whose team it is, but that's the team name.
Does he have Willie Cauley-Stein?
I hope not. Cauley-Stein? He sucks.
Well, anyways, trade him.
I will.
Trade DeAndre. Who was your first pick?
Who was my first pick? That's a great question.
Who's on your team, actually?
Nikola Jokic. That was
my first pick. Give me a roster. Who?
You? He's been nothing but triple dubs.
All right. Well, who else?
So I have, let me give a quick roster outlook right now. I got Dennis Schroeder, Jamal Murray, Lonnie Walker, my boy from the U. OG Anunoby, Eric Paschal, Serge Ibaka, Bogdan Bogdanovic, LaMelo, Chris Boucher, DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, former Celtics legend Avery Bradley, and...
Yo, Duke guy.
I know, don't remind me. He sucks. I'm about to trade him or cut him.
Yeah, he's not doing too well.
And I picked up Grant Hill for the... Or George Hill for the fuck of it. Grant Hill. Imagine if I had Grant Hill. I
think Marvin Bagley had a... decent year last year, if I recall. I think
he got hurt.
Yeah, I think he was scoring like 12 points a game, something like that.
Those Duke guys, they're made of glass.
Well, he was made of glass, but like we had him anyways. He wasn't really. I think he got hurt a lot. That like when he played for us.
Yeah, Duke guys just aren't good in the pros.
That's not true. Jason Tatum, come on.
Besides Tatum. And Carlos Boozer. You guys got no one. And Grant Hill.
J.J. Redick.
He's pretty okay.
I would say he's had a better than pretty okay career.
A very okay career.
How about Kyle Singler? Come on.
Kyle Singler's terrible. I'm better.
Can't forget about Kyle Singler. No, shut the fuck up. No.
Shut the fuck up.
Kyle Singler won us a championship. Grayson Allen, come on. I could go on all day.
Grayson Allen's a man. I love Grayson Allen.
Trey Jones, not Trey Young. Come on.
Trey Jones blows.
Yeah, but he's still...
The Plumlee brothers suck. Kyrie Irving sucks.
That's not true. I forgot about Kyrie Irving. Yeah, come on. I can go on for days with names of decent players in the NBA, all from Duke.
Vernon Carey hasn't done shit either, which is very disappointing. I love me some Vernon Carey.
Yeah, I'm not that surprised. I wasn't really a big fan of him at Duke.
I thought he was a beast.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, come on.
Giannis didn't go to Duke. What are you talking about?
I mean, if he was to go to college, he probably would have fucking went to Duke.
Probably not, because I don't think he wants to be a massive douchebag.
He is a massive douchebag.
Yeah, I certainly don't like him.
I mean, yeah, it does hold kind of true. Kyrie Irving is a pretty big fucking douchebag. I'm surprised Kevin Durant didn't go to fucking Duke.
Yeah, it must be a criteria. How shitty are you as a human being? Oh, word, we'll give you a scholarship.
Kevin Durant. I'm surprised LeBron James would have went to Duke if he could have. He's already said that.
Kobe said he would have, too.
R.I.P. to the great. Yeah, I think LeBron's supposedly his son is going to go to Duke. I know they would accept him right away. I mean, like, what school wouldn't want LeBron's kid? Yeah. I don't even know if he's, like... probably not even playing high school basketball this year, but
even if he's
not even like good enough to be on Duke, they're gonna have like every college wants him just because of the name and like money contributions from
get to get Bron at your games. Come on,
Yeah, that's like a big, like, come on, like recruiting thing too. Like, come on, every guy, whatever year LeBron James Jr. goes to Duke or Bronny Jr. goes to Duke, it's going to be like that Duke team is going to be stacked with all the top talent.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be like, guys, we got Bronny Jr. come here. LeBron's going to be at your games. And all those big time talent guys, all the top recruits are going to be like, fuck yeah, I'm going to Duke.
Not like Duke doesn't get the number one recruiting class each and every year anyway.
They're out there. They don't get the number one. Okay, leave it alone. Leave them alone. I don't even know who's the top recruit this year. Let's look that up. Let's have some fun. Duke only has like one guy right now. I mean, there's still the top two recruits assigned, but they have the number one. They have the number three guy, center. Paolo, I think you say his name. Paolo Panchero out of Seattle. He's a center, 6'9". I mean, I'm sure he's still going to grow. And then the number one probably and two guy. The number one and two guy Duke's not even interested in. It's another center at number one and a shooting guard at two. And then they don't have another guy signed to Duke, committed to Duke until number 14, A.J. Griffin, who I've heard good things about. I've actually heard about A.J. Griffin before. So, yeah, I don't know how we got started on that Duke train. But looking forward on the Celtics schedule. We can go over a couple games we're excited for. We already did the White Claw Wager of the Week. It is Miami. The Celtics over the Bulls next Tuesday, we say it was?
Yep.
Next Tuesday.
Tuesday at
8
o'clock.
Liam's going to have to chug a white, whatever seltzer, whatever form of seltzer he
seltzer
has.
Seltzer of some sort.
Seltzer of some sort. Alcoholic, and for me, non-alcoholic, on the next podcast. Upcoming games, we got Washington, we got Miami, we got Chicago, we have a back-to-back against Orlando and New York. We have a lot of back-to-backs this year. Is it because, like, the COVID thing? They were
must be a shortened season. It sounds terrible for the players.
Yeah, like, we got Philly back-to-back after that. Like, ugh. I mean, it's going to be great games. They're both on ESPN. And there's rest days in between them. There's 3 days in between the games. A day in between the games, sorry. But yeah, upcoming schedule, not too exciting. Like, I mean, the Washington game might be exciting Friday. Tomorrow, wow, tomorrow's Friday. Holy shit. That Washington game might be exciting. Miami game will obviously be exciting. Chicago, Orlando game. Orlando's been playing actually really well.
And Orlando has. They're surprising. I mean, they do it every year. But
how's New York been doing? I think New York's been playing decent.
They have.
Yeah, 5-3. Like, they're playing okay. But they got Vince Carter in New York.
No.
Wait, who's this guy?
Probably the dude who was on the Suns. I forget his name. He's not very good, though.
He looks legit like Vince Carter.
Well, he doesn't play like...
Who is this guy? I want to know his name. Where is he? What number is he again? He's like 67. Who is this?
He's number 67?
No, hold on. I'm on ESPN's like front homepage. Yeah, is this like an old picture? Oh, agent forward Gibbs. It's Gibson.
Oh, Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson, yeah.
My man. Yeah, they just signed him. They cut Amari Spellman, my boy, out of Villanova.
Yeah, I mean, ESPN doesn't even have Taj Gibson like on the roster yet. When did this happen? Okay, yeah, that's why. It just happened 2 hours ago. So, the report came out 2 hours ago. Fuck, okay, that's breaking news.
Yeah.
Looks like the Celtics should get a slew of wins here. I mean, easily we should win those. I think we should win those Orlando games. I think we'll run out our double bigs, our star, the bigger lineups against Chicago. Against Orlando, definitely. Orlando has a talented big man pool there, so... I'm kind of pissed it's not in Florida because, you know, the Pritch train would show up, but it's in Boston.
Take another stop to Florida.
He loves his trips to Florida and the Miami games at home too. So maybe Miami Pritchard will show up and shoot his heart out in Boston. But yeah, like I said, the next two games I think will be exciting. Washington, Miami, and then the other games are just kind of, those are games we should win.
Throwing the house on a Russell Westbrook triple-double against the Celtics.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, guys like that against the Celtics always do well. James Harden does very well every time he plays the Celtics. Russell Westbrook. goes to town. There's no one we have to stop him. So he's just going to go to town, and we're just going to do our thing and kick their ass.
We'll see.
I would bet money. What's the spread on this game tomorrow? Washington. I would bet any money that we'll beat the Wizards tomorrow. But anyways, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. Episode 54, I believe Liam said.
Yeah. Teddy Bruschi.
Teddy Bruschi. I do have a Teddy Bruschi jersey of the Rafters podcast. Episode 54, brought to you by Couch Guy Sports. Like we always say, go check out the store. Go check out all the other podcasts on the network. There's a slew of them. I know. Actually, a great episode. Legends Lingo podcast. Obviously, Legends Lingo podcast. Go listen to that one, because for their 100th episode, they had a slew of people on there. They had Dallas Braden on the podcast. They had Jared Carabas on the podcast. They had Lauren on the podcast. Lauren, who used to write for us and do some podcasts with us. She now works for Nesson. She was on there. They had a couple other Couchcast Sports podcasters on there. And then they had a guy from the radio. They had Pete Bertrand on there. So just a ton of guests. And they even had, I forget who else they had on there. They had one more guest, but it was an action-packed episode. Long one, but it was a good one. It was entertaining. It's also on YouTube too, so you can watch everybody what they're doing on Zoom or whatever they recorded on. But great episode. I definitely recommend that if you have free time and want to listen to something. So yeah, thank you guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Peace.